Can I just get you to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm sure it's a popular verse that a lot of you have heard so many times before. I'm sure all the veterans, all the older people here have heard this verse so many times. And I think I would like to direct this message towards the younger people. And, you know, it so happens that anywhere I go to, every church that I go to, I kind of like, I raise the average age up. Because I'm neither young or old. I'm not 60, neither am I 30. So you go guess how old I am. And I think this message is very relevant for the younger generation. Because I remember hearing similar messages when I was growing up as a young guy back in Nigeria in those days when I just got saved. And, you know, the title of the message is Meditating on God's Word. And that's basically what we're going to be focusing on today. Brother William asked me this morning, oh, where are my notes? He didn't see any notes there. And I noticed a few of you when you came in as well, you went straight to the table to get notes. Sorry. The notes we're going to write today are going to be on the tables of our hearts. Amen? We're going to write the word of God on our hearts this morning. Now, it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you would have good success. This was the Lord telling Joshua when he was taking over the reins of leadership from Moses, that the book of the law was what Joshua was going to have to live by. That was going to have to be his standard to lead God's people into the promised land. And we all know how Joshua did great exploits, conquered a lot of enemies and took the people into the promised land. And, you know, there was victory all around them because of his obedience to this. Now, about 4 or 5 months ago, in our home, we have a couple of bookshelves, about 3 or 4 bookshelves in our study area. My wife always complains that that's one of the messiest parts of the house because there's kindergarten books there, cookbooks there, scriptural books there, and all sorts of books, basically. And one thing my son does, whenever he's going to bed, sometimes when he's not tired, when we tell him, go and sleep, it's 9:30, go and sleep. Sorry for those of you who send your kids to bed at 6, but ours is 9:30. Praise God. He normally would go to the bookshelf and look for a book to read. And he would look and scan, and oh, okay, he takes one and then goes into his room. There was one day I saw him doing that, and I actually followed him there, and I said, oh, I want to see what book I should go and take and read before I go to bed. And I stumbled upon this book. The title of the book was Trust God for Your Finances. I didn't buy that book, okay? And I'm not trying to say it's a bad book or anything. I didn't buy that book, and I thought, where did I get this book from? I mean, the cover of the book, I can show you to show it to you after the service. It was the most unattractive book ever. And the title of the book was Trust God for Your Finances. And I said, oh, okay, I think I need some faith for my finances. Let me take that book. And I started reading it. And I think it was about the same time that Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene and myself went to Singapore. And we were there for about 4 days. And I had 4 days in a room myself. I didn't have to send kids to school. I didn't have to do anything in the evenings, you know, those kind of things. And I was able to read the book back to back, finished the whole book. Now, I must say that this is one of the most balanced books I've ever read about God's blessings for the church. And, you know, we've heard so many times, even Pastor Philip says so, that prosperity is one thing that the church, there's been so many wrong doctrine and wrong teachings about prosperity and about finances in the church. This book was so balanced, talked about the only reason why God will bless you is for you to be a blessing. Number one, just always remember that the reason why he would give you a huge bank account is so that you can use that to then be a blessing unto others. And you know, as a young guy who is just starting to run his own business, sometimes cash flow is a bit of a worry and, you know, just trying to balance things. And that book really ministered to me that if I want to prosper in business, I should do it God's way. Amen? And I'll tell anybody here, if you want to prosper in anything that you lay your hands on to do, you have to do it God's way. Now, one of the first things that the book actually mentioned was that if you want to know or you want to understand what God says about prosperity, then you must read what he says about prosperity in the Bible. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting. And one key thing I tell you, he said so well, is that the Bible has been given to us. And that scripture that we just read, that the book of the law shall not depart out of our mouths, but we shall meditate in it day and night, that we may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And it says that, for then shall you make your way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. That's Joshua 1:8. And he, one thing the guy stressed about is that we as believers must get to that place where we meditate on the word of God so much that it becomes part and parcel of us. Amen? The word has been given to us. Okay? This is the Bible. And, you know, you can either read it or study it. And, I mean, I'll give you this example. If I, for instance, I gave you this leaflet, and the title of the leaflet was How to Survive in the Australian Outback If You Get Lost. If I gave everybody a copy of this book, and I said, next week when you come to church, I'm going to ask you questions. Some of you will read it and, yeah, Outback, no problem. And you come back next week and I'll ask you some questions. You may understand, you may not understand, you may have read it, and you'll be able to share what you read in it. But how many of you know that if for instance, one of you goes to the Outback tomorrow and actually gets lost, and you have this leaflet with you, you're not just going to read it flippantly, you're going to study it, and you're going to say, okay, when you lost in the Outback, you must eat ants, you must drink water from anything, you know, you would go through the details, and you go through it like as if your life depends on it. You study it in and out because you are lost in the Outback. That is what we're supposed to do with the word. Our life depends on it. Amen? Amen? If you don't agree, please just raise your hands up and I'll get pastor to pray for you after the service. But our life depends on it. This is the word that has been given to us. And that commandment that was given to Joshua, you can find that same reference in so many parts of the Bible that we are to meditate on it day and night. Day and night. It should replace our TV time, our Facebook time, our Instagram time, our Snapchat time, our Tumblr time, whatever it is you're spending too much of your time on. The word of God should replace it. And you know, I shouldn't even say that anymore. I reject that. But I used to have a problem memorizing things and memorizing scripture. But you know, after reading that book and what the guy said we should do, just take the scripture, read the verse, repeat each line after one after the other, and do that over and over and over and over and over and over again. After a while, that word gets planted into your spirit and you can remember it. And you know, during that trip, I actually had the time to exercise that. I mean, I took that scripture that Joshua wanted and I planted it in my head and I started dissecting it. And you know, it says, for this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, which means you must always speak it. You must always be speaking the word of God, but you shall meditate in it day and night. When you wake up, when you go to bed, in between as well, you should be meditating on the word of God. And then it says, for then shall you make your way prosperous. And I stopped. You know, when I was meditating, I thought, wait a minute. I am going to make my way prosperous? How does that happen? And, you know, I started thinking about it, meditating on it again, that it's because I would make the right choices and I will walk in paths of righteousness that I will make my way prosperous. God, of course, will put his blessings on it, but I have a part to play in it to make my way prosperous. Does everybody agree with that? That it's actually God that gives us the power to get wealth. But if you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, the word of God is not going to work for you. If you're at the wrong place, you miss what God tells you to do, you don't obey his spirit, then it's not going to happen for you the way he wants it to happen for you. Amen? And, you know, I kept on meditating on the word that says, for then shall you have, and then you shall have good success. And I thought, oh, okay, stop. You mean there's good success? And then there's bad success as well? You know, and I thought to myself, because I'd seen that verse so many times, I'd read it so many times, I mean, preachers have preached it till the cows come home. But it's when you now spend time meditating on it that you now notice the nuggets that is in those verses of scripture. And it says there's good success. That means there can be bad success. There can be success that is actually bad for you. And I thought, oh my goodness, that is very scary. That is, I mean, and of course the word success, you can define it as what? Some people say it's when you have a lot of money. Some people say when you have this, when you have that. Regardless of what the description or the definition is, you need the good version of the success. You don't need the bad version. Amen? And, you know, since then, I've been telling my wife, and you know, my wife has been struggling with some health issues. Before I actually read the book, I remember we went to see one of the doctors that she goes to see, who is a Christian, and he's a Nigerian. And whenever we go to see him, he just spends, 30 minutes preaching to us, basically, and how we should trust God and we should believe in Him and da, da, da. And you know, one thing he told my wife was that because you're struggling so much with health issues, and it seems we can't really find, I mean, it's not like something we can just prescribe a set of drugs to you and then you get healed instantly or something. Because of that, then he told her, he said, I feel so strongly that you need to know every verse of scripture in the Bible that talks about healing. And you should know it by heart. You should know it as in when they wake you up, you should be able to just read. And I thought, wow, that's very interesting. And it's likewise for any of us, regardless of what situation you're going through. Whatever God says about that situation, that's what we should be dwelling on. That's what we should tell ourselves. I am going to spend my time focusing on God's word. Is it faith that you have a problem with? Is it fear you have a problem with? Is it healing? Is it provision of a job or finances? Is it kids that are not obeying the Lord? You know, there's a scripture for everything that we face in our lives. This book, I mean, we should be, our life depends on it, basically. Amen. And, you know, in today's world that we live in, we have so many competing values and competing theories and competing statements that the world is trying to push into our heads. And I like the scripture that Pastor Philip actually shared last week. If you can just quickly turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Pastor Philip shared about this when he was talking about how we measure churches of God that are in right standing with God and the churches in the last days that are going to make heaven. And you know, we've been listening to all our pastor has been sharing about heaven and hell. And I remember one of my kids is asking, why would anybody want to go to hell? And it's a good question. Why would anybody want to go to hell when heaven is so real, heaven is so good, and hell is so bad? Now, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? That's why we have scripture. That's why we have the word of God to rely on, to depend on. Our life depends on it. The word of God has been given to us to totally, totally soak our hearts and our lives into it. Now, if we don't read the word, if we don't meditate on it day and night, how many of you know that when trials come your way, you may not remember, or you may not even know how to fight? And you know, we all remember the story of our Lord Jesus when he was taken into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Whenever Satan told him anything, what was his response? It is written. Which means he knew the word of God at that time in and out. And that is what it should be for us as well. When Satan comes and throws things at us, throws sickness at our family, throws tragedy into our family, throws poverty, or you lose your job or whatever it is, you just come back and say, it is written. It is written. It is written. And you quote scripture back to him. I like this one in, I think it's Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand in the paths of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that same law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaves do not wither. And that man will be prosperous in all he does. Amen. That is the word of God. And you know, I've been finding it, it's a very exciting journey. I'm trying to get into that mode of meditating on the word of God. I tell you, in the past, I couldn't even remember where this scripture was or where that scripture was. And you know, you always have to refer back to the Bible. But now, the Lord is teaching me how to go back and, you know, just sometimes it takes me 15 minutes to memorize 3 verses of scripture. And those 3 verses of scripture can absolutely change your life around. And you know, of course, in this day and age, we have all these gadgets with us that sometimes are a distraction to our growth. And praise God, sometimes they can also help us in our growth. I actually went onto the web and I did a search. I need to find out how to memorize scripture. And I was blown away. Some guys would stand in front of their TV camera and read the whole of the book of John from their memory, from their heart. And I'm not saying this just so that we get into a habit of just knowing it by rote, but there's something about when you start meditating on the word of God, it starts changing you on the inside. It starts stopping you to think about what you're actually saying. And when you know it by heart, I'm telling you, the devil cannot steal that from you. Are you struggling in the area of finding a job or finding a life partner? The scriptures even for that. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's what that says, right? Amen. And you know, there's scriptures to stand on. Why are you laughing? There's scripture to stand on for every area of your life. This word of God is there for us. Amen. Trust God. Trust God. And I'm telling you, when you get home today, please, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Because I believe the next time I come to preach, I'll probably do a part 2 and a part 3 of this. Because, we can't have enough time to preach everything about meditating on the word of God and do examples and do even exercises like we're going to do later on. But take time out. I tell you, even if you take all you take is 1 verse of scripture every week, and you do that every week, devotedly do that every week, you would have 52 verses of scripture that are implanted in your mind that Satan will throw things at you and you throw it back at him and say, go to hell, Satan, because I know the word, because it's written in the word of God. Amen. And let's just continue to remember that. Let's just continue to dwell on that his word in us. And you know, the Bible says that the entrance of his word gives life and it gives light. And you know, as I kept on meditating on the word of God, I noticed, you know, it's like somebody just turns on this button of joy. Ding! Hey, you're going to make it. And then you get this other button that says, hey, it's all going to be all right. And that is what the word of God does to us when we internalize it. You know, I heard this long time ago when I was a young boy that whenever we come to gatherings like this to listen to the word of God, you know, like when Pastor Philip comes and shares about the book of Revelation, he would have spent the whole of his week gleaning on the word and putting his thoughts together, and then he comes and gives you the whole sermon. He presents to you the sermon, and then that's the end. He goes away and starts preparing for the next sermon, okay, for the next week. But then we have downloaded everything that he has taught us from the word, but then we go home and then we now further study it, or we get even greater revelation. Sometimes it may be even more revelation or more questions to what Pastor has already shared. And that is how we should be treating the word of God. Whenever we hear it preached on Sundays, we should go back and say, wow, I would like to apply that to my life. Let me go and read further. And you get blessed even more. Amen? Amen. And, you know, today's sharing or sermon is going to be very straightforward. We all need to leave here with a purpose to meditate on the word of God. I know some of you older folks are saying, oh, come on, what are you talking about? We've been doing this for years. Praise God. I'm talking to the younger folks, like I said, you know, I'm the gap in between the older and the younger. So I'm talking to the younger, especially those who are, you know, having exams coming up, who are going to be in university, or those who are already in university, and they have all sorts of opposing theories thrown at them day by day. I mean, I like our kids. They always come and ask questions, and they say, talk about things that they know is wrong and that they see in their school and stuff like that. And that is how it should be. Even the word tells us that we should teach this word to our children and their children and their children and their children as well. Because once we pass on the baton to one generation, it's going to go back to the next generation. Amen? And you know, I was telling my wife this the other day. We're here in Zion Fellowship. The church is growing. Praise God. And you know, I always ask myself, in the future, what's going to happen? We've got a lot of kids who have grown up here, who have learnt the culture, so to speak, or the lifestyle of the land here. But we need those same children to carry on the baton. If the Lord tarries that long, to the next generation. And how do we do that? Just teach them the word. Teach them the concept, the precepts of the word. Thank God, all of us, a lot of us have kids who are here in church. We have another bunch of kids upstairs with the Sunday school teachers. And I even like it when my son comes and says, oh, this is the memory verse for today. And you can remember it on Sunday, and then you can remember it on Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday. You can't remember it anymore. But praise God, the seed has been sown. The seed is sown. And I tell you, when those kids get into crazy times, even if they may not remember the word verbatim, they will remember the gist of the matter, and they will be able to refer it to their situations and to their circumstances. And I say this because I remember when I first got saved in Nigeria, and we were attending this Foundation of Faith classes. The guy who was running the class, you know, we went through how you must have a quiet time, read your Bible, how you must pray, and then he also went on to meditating on scripture. And, you know, he told us, okay, why don't you do this? That we should talk about this scripture. I think it's in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he said, just walk around wherever you are. Say that 100 times a day. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And yeah, I did it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. And you won't believe it. That scripture, I kept on remembering it. And anytime you face any crazy situations, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Is it when you're sick? Is it when you're faced with a very serious situation? You just continue to stand on the word of God and confess that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? And I say that even you young folk, I think this is one you must remember. Greater is he that is in you. The Spirit of God in you. Than that devil that is out there in the world. Always remember that. Always remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is, it's life-changing. You know, I was having a chat with my wife yesterday, and I just asked her, okay, so what scriptures are you standing on for your healing? And she just went, I'm like, okay. All right. You're there. You're where you need to be. And you know, that is how it should be. That is how we should, you know, if you're going through a situation, and I think a lot of pastors, even back home, used to do that. Oh, what are you going through? Okay, what scripture are you standing on? And you tell them what scripture you're standing on. And you know, it's when you come to God in faith, standing on his word. The Bible says he is faithful. He will not let his word come back to him void, but it goes out to accomplish that which he sent it forth to do. And we should always remember, he's a very, very faithful God. His word never fails, and he will never fail. We should always constantly remind ourselves about that. And, you know, there's so many scriptures. I wrote a few down here. And, you know, when I was trying to get ready for this sermon, I thought, how else can you get ready for a sermon on meditating on the word of God? Except by meditating on the word of God. It's as simple as that. And, you know, there's a scripture for healing. In James chapter 5, 14, 15. I don't know if you just want to turn to it real quick. And it says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Or in some versions it says, save the sick. And the Lord will raise him or her up. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven. You know, that straight away explains to us, if you're going through any hard situations, especially in the area of healing, I beseech you by the mercy of God. This scripture is right there for you. When pastor announces at the end of the service, if anybody needs prayer, please come forward. And then he walks over to the table and he takes the oil. That's the reason why that is there. Because the prayer of faith will heal or save the sick. Amen. And let's always remember, let's not suffer in silence, please, I beseech you. If there's any area where, you know, there's trials and temptations in your life that you need prayer for, come to the elders of the church. Come to Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene. I know they're very willing to pray with you 24/7. No. Anytime you call them, I'm sure they'll be willing, within reason, to come and pray for you. Amen? And let's just remember, that is the word of God. I mean, there's so many scriptures. My wife shared this one with me yesterday, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Amen. By whose stripes we are healed. I mean, and if it's for provision, I like this one. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the term 419, but it's a code for when... Okay, let me rewind. You all know I'm from Nigeria, right? I was originally born in Nigeria. I was bred in Nigeria. And we know Nigerians are known very well for sending out letters to tell you that some man died back home and he's got a lot of money and he wants you to send his bank account and give you, you know, he's going to give you half of the money. So all you have to do is pay for the money to be transferred. Please, if you ever see those kind of emails, don't respond. Please. Please. Now, in the security, or what would you call that, law enforcement scene in Nigeria, there's a code for that kind of scam. It's actually called 419, which is the code used to address people who are involved in fraudulent activities like that. And, you know, these guys are trying to enrich themselves fraudulently. But I thank God that there's another 419 in the Bible, in Philippians 4, verse 19. That says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why would I need to write you a letter to ask for your money when my God can supply all my needs? Amen. And you know, this scripture is there for us as well to stand on. And what are your needs? What are the things that you really need? And you know, even when I was reading that book about trusting God for your finances, that book shared sometimes that even when you need something, it's not always the money that is going to get you that thing. It's sometimes maybe somebody that just come and give you that thing, or somebody that may give you an idea on how to get that thing. And, you know, God, through his divine arrangements, you know, my wife and I were talking this morning about how I left Nigeria, was studying in Singapore, worked in Singapore, how I got jobs, different jobs, and every step of the way, it was one miracle after another. And, you know, sometimes I just ask myself, God, how did you do it? You know, I can't say I'm super spiritual or super sensitive or anything. I cannot lay claim on that, but for God's faithfulness and God's mercy, he's brought me thus far, and we have even more glorious years ahead as long as we continue to walk in his ways. We continue to walk in his ways. Let us not stand in the counsel or stand in the paths of unrighteous people, especially you young kids who are going into university or who are finishing your exams. And like the scripture that was shared this morning, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, 15:33, about your companions. That scripture in Psalms addresses the same thing. Do not be found in the council. Do not walk in the council. Don't listen to what your friends tell you and think that is the law. When your parents and your pastor and your cell group leaders tell you one thing and you say, no, that's old school, I'm going to listen to them, please don't be caught in that way. And do not stand in the path. Don't be at the wrong place with the wrong kind of people, please. I beseech you by the mercies of God. And it says, do not sit. I mean, when you sit, that means you're actually feeling comfortable. You're actually there to kind of stay for a while, and you don't want that. Do not sit in the seats of the scornful, those who are just out to finish the other person next to them. And, you know, this word of God is there for us to live right. the word of God has been given to us to reproach, to correct, to give us instructions in righteousness. And you know, sometimes correction hurts. I mean, sometimes when my wife tells me some things that I did wrong, and I'm like, why must you tell me? Why? But it's good. And you tell yourself, if you're a living thing and you want to do the right thing, you should listen. That still small voice, and sometimes it's not still, but that voice of your wife telling you to do things and to don't leave your shoes there. And you're like, okay, I'll try. God, and you know, that's when even the word of God kicks in. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get back from work. Instead of leaving my shoes there in the room, I take them into the bedroom and put them on the shoe rack, and I go back out. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You quote the word to help you to do, and it's just being honest with yourself when you are weak, when things just don't come. Some things don't come to me naturally. Some people just get it like that. Oh yeah, you must do this, you must do this, you must do that. But some things don't come to everybody naturally. And that's where scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, would come in. And where's that scripture? I think I wrote that down. Yeah. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's it. Now, let's make it easy. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Can you repeat after me? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you know, even as you say that, you stop to yourself and say, I can do all things. Okay, now I'm not saying tomorrow you'd go to the airport here and say you're going to fly a 747 because God has given you strength. No. It's things within reason, within even God's wisdom as well. I mean, who knows if you're caught in an emergency where you then need to help to land the plane. Yeah, maybe in that area, this word will kick in. But in areas of like your exams, and you've been trying to study this thing in your biology or chemistry, and you just can't seem to get the concept. You students especially, just stop. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Or you might be faced, you might be going in for an interview. You know, they put the selection criteria there. Maybe they put 8 selection criteria, out of which you perfectly met 6 of them, but 2 of them you're lacking. The same thing will kick in. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You tell yourself, you speak the word to yourself, and that word comes alive in you to cause change, to cause victory. Amen. And you know, there's so many promises in the word of God. There's promise after promise after promise that we can stand on, that we can meditate on. But I tell you, you're going to have to do it. I can't do it for you. Like we always tell our kids, we can't work out your salvation. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling yourself. You have to do it. Pastor Philip can preach the word of God, but we have to then take it into our hearts and adapt it to our lives before we can see results. Amen? And you know, it's my prayer that as we walk this walk, the times are getting harder. I look at the scripture again, the 4191, Philippians 4:19, that the Lord and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And his methods of provision, praise God, does not depend on the banks in Australia. I mean, can you imagine last week they all just went and started raising their interest rates? And you know, you tell yourself, what are they thinking? But if you remember that God is your provision, he's the one that meets all your needs. They can raise it to whatever they want. He would always meet your needs. Amen? As long as you keep your eyes focused on him and not the CEOs of the banks and not what the shares are saying, not what the stock markets are saying. I mean, people are always predicting. They still predict up to now that there's going to be great turmoil in the financial world. As Christians, the Lord our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, I'll just share this little testimony with you. I was having a chat with one of the companies that I buy computer parts for my business. And, you know, this lady was trying to organize a meeting so that we can discuss getting parts that I buy at a cheaper price. And I told her, look, I'm very, very busy. I don't have that much time to be because I'm involved in setting up two new clients. And then one of my other clients is changing, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, I don't have the time, maybe in 2 weeks' time. And she actually said, wow, that's interesting. A lot of your other colleagues are saying there's a slowdown in the IT business. And I thought, oh, well, I didn't get that memo because this is my memo. Praise God. That the Lord will supply all my needs according to his riches. Even when everybody else is saying, oh, there's a slow turn, there's a downturn, and I will just continue to confess and stand on the word of God that he is the one that is my provision. Amen. When doors look like they've been shut for other people, my own doors are opening up. And I'm saying this not to say we should all go and start claiming things. And please see my heart here. When we talk about prosperity, when we talk about giving, it's to be a blessing. I'm telling you, when we talk about how we want to start giving to missions in Indonesia, how we want to go out into China to preach the gospel, how we want to even reach out to our immediate community here, if all of us are doing well financially in this church, how many of you know that regardless of how small the church is, we will prosper. We will do effective work because we have the means to do so. Amen? Because we're all giving sacrificially, we're giving. I mean, I want to get to that stage in the name of Jesus where my tithe is more than what I need to survive in a month. People talk about it. People say, oh, yeah. But I want to get to that place where I give sacrificially. Because honestly, you don't need that much to survive. I'm an example of that. You don't need that much. I need to get rid of something. Amen. Yeah, you can laugh. But it's the truth. You don't need that much to survive. How much do you, I mean, how many houses can you live in? How many cars can you drive? How many whatever shirts can you wear? You can only wear one at a time. Amen. Amen. Martin. But within reason, you know, the Bible says whatever needs you have, that the Lord will meet them. And over and above that, anything you then get extra is for the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying this because Pastor came and told me to preach a sermon on prosperity or giving or whatever. But I believe the church has been placed. I mean, the Bible says that like in the book of Acts, that all the disciples came together. All the people in the body of Christ, they came together and they threw their offerings at the feet of the disciples. And then it was then equally distributed. Nobody had lacked any good thing. And I believe that is where we need to get to, even as a church, where whenever we have needs as a church, and praise God that our needs have been met in this church, and they will continue to be met. Amen. Because we will trust God. We will continue to trust God for somebody to rent that place when it becomes vacant. We will trust God that we will be able to meet our monthly payments in this, because that's what the Word of God says. That we should come to him with our needs. We should come to him knowing full well that he would answer. He's faithful. He is the one that we look to, not to people, not to men. Of course, he will use men and women to bless us. He will use men and women to provide for us. But we need to also look to him. He does it his own way. He does it. I mean, somebody was sharing with me yesterday about, I think it was Elijah or Elisha in the Bible, where there was a time he was lacking and it was a raven that brought him food. And then the next time it was a widow that fed him. And then I think there was another time that somebody, and you know, God will use different methods, Elijah. God will use different methods to meet your needs at different times. And I guess we need to constantly remember that. Amen. We need to constantly remind ourselves that he is our all in all. And he's giving us his survival manual. If you go into the outback, wherever, even his word would be the one to rescue you. And we have no excuse. Back in those days, you had to carry a big Bible or a small, tiny Bible. Now you can carry it electronically. You can carry it in your phone. We don't have any excuse. The very things that can be a distraction to us can actually be helpful in our growth. And I like the work that the Gideons are doing, placing Bibles in different parts of the world, placing them in hotels where people, I think when you go on a trip and you're alone, and you don't have anything to do, if you open your drawer, you see a Bible there. It's one of the most effective places to actually find a Bible and to be able to read it and take it, because the Word of God is our survival manual. Amen. So, before we finish, I'm just going to do a quick exercise. Let's just meditate on Philippians 4:13. And it's not just to, it's not, I don't want it to make it like a rote or like you're just doing it as an obligation, but I dare to say that when you leave here, you're going to remember what we did here today. So Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we just probably stand up and go over that scripture? I think we'll do it 20 times. Amen. Because this scripture is the one that's going to make us be able to even get home and meditate on the Word of God. That I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. And I say that not just to you, but I say that to myself as well. That I would take time out to start meditating on the Word. To start giving myself to digging deep in scriptures. Do you want to learn about God's love? Dig through the scriptures. See what it says about love. If you have problems taming your tongue, for instance, dig through the Word of God and see what it says about that. If you have problems with sexual issues, dig through the Word of God to see what it says. And you know, like it says in Romans 12, I think it's verse 2, talks about that be transformed by the renewal of your mind. When the Word of God gets into you, it's going to renew your mind. Your mind will be transformed. Your whole pattern of thinking will change. Amen? So let's just go over Philippians 4:13. We're going to do it 20 times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for indeed we can do all things through you. Even as you strengthen us, you give us the strength, you give us the wisdom. Lord, I even pray that, Lord, even as we've heard this about meditating on your word, and we've even done this small little exercise, meditating on your word, we can do it, Lord, because you are going to strengthen us, because you are going to enable us, oh God. Our lives will never be the same again. I speak that in faith in the name of Jesus. Our lives will be transformed. Our minds will be transformed. Because by the entrance of the word in our hearts and in our lives, our minds are going to be renewed. Renewed. Rebooted. Rejuvenated with the power of your word. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things. We can study your word. We can read your word. We can meditate on your word. It's not too difficult because with you all things are possible. Because with God, all things are possible. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, even for the younger ones here, Lord, let them know that even there's a scripture that says, how can a man make his way pure? But by hearkening to the word of God. How can a young man or a young woman make his way pure? But by hearkening to the word of God. And I even speak concerning the younger generation here. That, Lord, they will take something from what has been shared today to apply to their lives, oh God. To remember that the way they're going to walk circumspectly is through the word of God. The way they're going to walk straight and not crooked paths is through the word of God. The way they're going to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. The way they're going to stand not in the path of sinners. The way they're not going to sit in the midst of the scornful is through the word of God. Father God, I pray that in the name of Jesus, they would delight themselves in your law, in your word. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, every single person in here will meditate on your word day and night. Day and night. Lord, let us give up the extra TV time. Let us give up the extra chatting time. Let us give up the extra Facebook or whatever time it is to just meditate. All it takes sometimes is even 5 minutes to just meditate on your word. And Lord, we know, Lord, even through that meditation on your word, we're going to see the fruits where we want to spend time praising you, where we're going to want to spend time praying, where we're going to want to spend time to share that same love with others around us. I just pray, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I just speak that over every one of us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we will see the fruits, O Lord. We will see the fruits. And we will share of your goodness and of your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.